Join me if you will in Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. And we're going to be around verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us, Father, as we study your word, that you might bring forth the truth. Father, that you would work through me, Father, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. Folks, this section of scripture is about Jacob and Esau. And before we ever teach this, I need to explain something. In Jewish tradition and in Jewish law, the eldest son is heir to all the belongings of the father. He's the heir, just like many other cultures. In the Italian culture, it's kind of like that. The oldest son is the heir. You know, but we don't really follow that tradition like we did there. There, it was very serious. I mean, they followed it step by step. And so Esau is the firstborn. He is the legal heir of the whole land of Canaan. Okay, now really, he's Abraham's great-grandson. He has no concept of what he's going to inherit here. Neither does Isaac, they don't understand yet the complete promise of God that God had made to Abraham. But it's important to understand this, because of the Abrahamic covenant, we are talking about a major, major promise to the heir. Okay, he's going to be inheriting an entire land and kingdom. Okay, it's going to happen several generations, but it's going to happen. So this, by birthright, belongs to Esau. As we see in Esau, in verse 23, it says, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two men of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now that's different than what the law says there, but that's God's will. God doesn't have to follow man's traditions or man's rules. God makes his own rules. So God says, here's what's going to happen. The younger is going to serve the older. It's not the first time it's happened. Isaac was younger than Ishmael. Okay? It's not the first time it's happened. But that's what God willed. God willed that the younger was going to serve the older. So that's God's plan. We understand that. Now, we understand that the inheritance belongs to the older, but that's man's rules. God says, no, the younger is going to inherit it all. Great. All we got to do is wait then and it'll happen. Except in Genesis 25, we see something in 27, 28 here. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man." That means he worked on the fields and dwelling in tents. "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob." Now there's a problem, okay? First of all, when parents favor children over the other children, you're going to have conflict among the children and among the parents. It's a natural thing. If you favor one child over the other, they're going to resent that child. They're going to resent each other. Or they're going to resent the parents. You cannot favor children. Right away, we have a problem here that Isaac and Rebekah do not agree on the children. She loves him because he works on the fields. He loves Esau because he goes out there and he hunts. And he loves to eat that venison. So we have parental dispute here over these children. Who's the better child, okay? Now, let's go on. So we go on further, and then verse 29, we have an occurrence here that Jacob is making pottage. He saw pottage, and Esau came to the field, and he was faint. So Esau has been out hunting, okay? And he's hungry. He says, man, I've been out hunting all the time, and I am very hungry. And Jacob has this soup he made, okay? So he said, here, okay? Okay, I had the soup here. So Jacob says something, you know, he's a cunning guy. And he says, you know what? I'm going to use this to my advantage. And he says, okay. He says, Esau said, Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, they call his name Edom. He was called Edom before because his skin was red. And now he's called Edom because he wanted the red pottage. He is feeling like he's going to die. Now, you know what? Have you been that hungry you feel like you're going to die? I've been that hungry. You've been at sea when you couldn't eat for a while? Good. You get hungry. But is he going to die? He's not going to die, but he's that hungry that he's allowing his flesh to guide his senses. He says, I am hungry. And then Jacob says, you know what? I got something here. I think I can get something here. He says in verse 31, he says, okay, Jacob says, sell me this day thy birthright. Do you realize what that is? The birthright. He says, sell me your birthright. You give me everything that you're going to inherit. Do you realize at this point that's the Abrahamic covenant? That's the entire land of Canaan. That's the entire Jewish history. He is going to inherit all that. And sell me that birthright. God already said that Jacob was going to get the birthright. So is Jacob right or wrong here? Jacob's wrong. Right? He should have compassion on his brother. He should love his brother. He shouldn't bargain away his birthright over a bowl of soup. You know, it's never right to do wrong. It's never right. And so Jacob is acting wrongly here, and Esau says, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit does my birthright do me? He's not going to die. But you see, when you're in your flesh, you really lose perspective on spiritual things. You lose perspective on everything. He lost total perspective on his life because he allowed his hunger to overcome his mind and his thought process. He says, what good is my birthright going to do if I die? Well, if I die, you lose your birthright anyway, but he is not going to die. And you see, we do that. We allow the things of this world to overcome us so badly that we lose perspective. We lose perspective of what we're doing for God. We lose perspective of spirituality. We lose perspective of life because we need something now and we don't count the cost of the future. We don't look downstream and count the cost. You know, sometimes you feel like my life is ruined today. It's bad today. We have no idea what God has for the future. No, we're just into ourselves, and so I need this now. I don't care about tomorrow. I want this now. That generation now, we have instant gratification. I mean, you don't see it around you. You're blind. I see it everywhere. We have that instant gratification. Something happens right now where it's no good. We're not waiting. I'm not going to wait. And so we have young people ruining their lives at young ages because they can't wait. This guy couldn't wait to have food, so he said, I'll trade him my birthright. He said, okay, what's it going to do me? Doing me no good, okay? We should never, ever, ever exploit each other because of our needs. Ever. You know that? We sit like vultures on the fence. We just can't wait. We just can't wait for someone to be in need so we can pounce on them and take advantage of them. Shame on you if that's where you live. We ought to be careful with one another and be considerate with one another and be kind to one another and not waiting to take advantage of one another. That's what Jacob did here, and he was so wrong. Right? God already promised Jacob he was going to have it. You know, God didn't need us to do wrong so that he can have right happen. God doesn't need us to do wrong to make his will happen best. I think it's wrong to do that. God's will is going to happen anyway. It's going to happen because God promised it. But when we get in the way, we can sure make a mess of things for ourselves. Right? So in verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point of dying, and profit shall the birthright do me. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware to him to give his birthright. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. He said, Jacob, you got all my inheritance. And what was the cost of that? He gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And eat and drink and made up. I'll read that in a second. He sold everything for a piece of bread and a bowl of soup. Pretty cheap. Pretty cheap, isn't it? What are we selling out for? We said, well, that's cheap. You sold out everything for that. What does it take for you to sell out? You see? We're easy to judge Jacob here and Esau here. But we have to sit in that seat and say, you know, what will we sell out for? What would it take for me to stop serving Christ? See? You know what? We need to be stronger than that, than Esau. And we need to more be compassionate than Jacob. So what happens here? And Jacob, he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. He hated what he did. He hated his birthright. He did everything he did for a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. It ripped up his life. And it didn't do much for Jacob's life either. Remember, Jacob would have had this all anyway. And you know what? That's not the end of the story either. Jacob's deceit doesn't end here. When Isaac is dying, he has a blessing to give. And he's going to give that blessing to Esau, who's his eldest son. Which is right. The blessing belongs to the oldest son. Now, the blessing is not part of the birthright. That's a separate deal. So he didn't sell the blessing to Jacob. He only sold the birthright. And so he is owed and due Isaac's blessing. And Isaac says to him, you go out there and get me some venison. You make it. You know, I'd love to eat it. And after that, you come in here and I'll eat it and I'll give you my blessing. Well, you know, Rebecca overheard that. Folks, this is parenting at its worst. She says, I hope for your father, he's going to give Esau the blessing. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to go out there and get me a goat, kid of the goats, and you're going to be, and I'm going to prepare it, and he won't know the difference. He'll just love it, and he'll eat it, and think it's venison. This is his mother. This is his wife. She's plotting against her own husband, against her own children. Can you imagine that? You can't get any worse than this. And so what does Jacob do? Jacob says, no, that's not right. He says, okay, I'll do this. Jacob doesn't care. He wants more. He's so selfish. He wants everything. And so what does he do? He goes out there and kills it. And she makes him, you know, she makes him that sleeve with the hair. And it goes, like I said, the voice sounds like Jacob, but the arm sounds like, feels like Esau. And he gives Jacob the blessing. And that blessing is irreversible. He can't take it back. It's irreversible. It's a promise to God. And so Esau comes in. And Jacob says, I was tricked. I already gave the blessing to... Isaac says, I was tricked. I already gave the blessing to Jacob. Jacob stole the blessing. His mother stole the blessing. You know, God had a plan. And God's plan would work perfectly. But if you get in the way of God's plan, you destroy everything. I mean, now there's agony and anger between Esau and Jacob when they separate. They don't see each other for a long time. And the strain and stress on his mind. Jacob goes away for a long time, gets a wife, has to work. He gets tricked. He has to work 7 more years for another wife. Because he decided, I want to get what I want to get. And if God says it's mine, or I don't know if he's doing it, but God says, I'm going to take it. We need to be careful, folks. We need to be patient. We need to wait on God. And we need to trust God. This is what happens when you don't trust him. God's will is going to happen whether you like it or whether you're not. God's will is going to happen whether you do it or whether you don't do it. God's will is going to happen. And he doesn't need your help to make it happen. So let's stop and rest on God. And wait on God and do right by him and do his will rightly and rejoice and be happy in God and we'll live a more peaceful life. He had a ruined life because he didn't listen to God. Let's not follow that example. Okay, any prayer requests, Stephen?